Hallelujah. Can you hold someone's hand, listen together, our Father? Name of your Son, Jesus. This morning, we ask and receive. You grant unto our hearts insight that is found in Him alone. Together as a church, we behold Jesus, your Son, as He sees us in Him. He is glorified, and we are edified. Amen. All right, let's toss our Bibles quickly. We have this, I said yesterday I was teaching on the things of the Spirit, and I mentioned something I was going to teach this morning that I had already taught yesterday, but I was going to go back today and be more direct. And I want to look at a question that people often ask. Did God do it? Because sometimes when people have challenges, and it's often because of the way we had viewed God. You know, did God do this? Now, James 1 and verse 16. I will start from verse 13. Did God do this? And people ask those kind of questions when they cannot properly either interpret scripture or interpret their experiences with the view of the Word of God. Now, James 1 and 13. James says, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now, let's just stop there briefly. You know, when he says, let no man say, he's not talking about casual talk. It's a present tense continuous, that is, a viewpoint. What you can call a theology, a belief system. When you say, God did it, said, I am tempted of God, then he says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now, look at what he has started with. He says, God cannot. Now, it's very possible for people to say, God did. Alright? But that viewpoint, no matter how strong it is, doesn't make it true. For example, Islam does not affirm Christ as Savior. Islam doesn't affirm the blood of Jesus for sins. Islam doesn't affirm Christ as the Son of God. Islam doesn't affirm the resurrection of Christ. But Islam is a predominant belief system in the world today. There are millions and millions who view God in that Islamic point of view. And they even argue when the gospel is preached to them. So a viewpoint, alright, that has taken basically of the 1,000 years does not make it true. The fact that you have experiences that even seem to confirm that viewpoint doesn't make it true. James has said, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Then he says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So there are certain things that should be settled in your heart about God. Titus 1:2, it says, God who cannot lie. And in the Greek it says, it's an emphatic negative. He cannot. He cannot lie. It's a strong emphasis. Hebrews 6:18. These two things, it's impossible for God. So we have seen he cannot, then it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. So there are certain facts that should be resolved in your heart. Absolutely. In spite of experiences, as it were, for you or for others. This is what the Bible says. So, like I said, did God do it? And many times we try to find God in the equation of everything that happens. Because some people have said it, that there's nothing that happened that God did not either permit or he caused it to happen. Some folks believe that the power of God, they call it the sovereignty of God, is that everything that is happening is the one doing it. He's either part of it, or he's not a part of it, but he will have been part of it. He permitted it. No, you don't have that kind of thinking. Of course, I would readily tell you to take some of our series that we have taught virtually over the years. We have the Law in Genesis series. We have the Wrath of God series. We have what the Old Testament reveals, and so on and so forth. You know, our studies of the books of the Old Testament also gives you, quite some concise idea on how to read. That's why you cannot afford to be lazy in how you approach the scriptures. You can't afford to be lazy. So I change that so that you can go back and get those materials and study them. But let's get pointed, because I want us to be very directional in this particular teaching, in this service and the second service. So James says, don't say it. Don't teach it. Don't even give that idea. In the way and manner that you present God, or God is presented to you. Now, let us identify, why is that question difficult for people to answer? Did God do it? I call it finding God in evil. Did God do it? Now, look at that text again. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. So, verse 13 now leads you to verse 14. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 now says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now, notice something there. Verse 14 and 15, God is not mentioned at all. So, a man can have a desire, and that desire will mature, and it will of his own self bring forth fruit. Which means that God is not in every action. Now, every man is drawn away when he's drawn away by his own desire, which means that man's desire is man-made. Man's thoughts are man-made. Man's desires are man-made. Man's thoughts are man-made. God made it so. The man's thoughts, man's desires are man-made. Notice again that God is not mentioned. God is only mentioned outside 14 and 15 as to what he cannot do. Then he now tells you in 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err. That word err means to be led astray. Every good gift, he says in 17, and every perfect gift coming from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is, there is no variableness, that is, it's not, you won't find contradictions. Then it says in 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his own creatures. That is, we are now supposed to reflect him. He begat us with the word of truth. Why would he say the word of truth? The word of truth is another name for the gospel. He said he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his own creature. Now, how are we going to be that kind? He said, for therefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That is, when it comes to wrath, be slow. The word slow is where you have the word brados, the word Jesus used in Luke 24, verse 25. It doesn't mean slow to eventually do it. It means you are not provoked. You are slow when it comes to wrath. Wrath is never slow. The word wrath in the Greek is the word orge, O-R-G-E, oftentimes. It has to do with something that is boiling very fast. They say you should be slow. That means it's the exact opposite. Be slow to wrath, slow to speak. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, you will not find God in that wrath. So he makes it absolutely clear. Then the question now for many of us is, why do we think that when something happens, particularly when something is uncomfortable, evil, we say, maybe God? That question arises. Or, did God do it? Or did God permit it? Why does it happen? Why does that often happen? Now, you know, there's nothing you say that is not informed by something you saw or you heard. So, oftentimes that question, did God do it, arises from something you heard, something you saw, or something you read. Because naturally that question will not arise if you have not gotten an information. And like I've always said, if you have heard something for a long time and you had believed in it, and probably even practiced things around it, when the word of God is taught that contradicts what you have heard, it may take you a while. And that is why sometimes you have to be very aggressive in the way you immerse yourself in God's word. Now that leads me to the next slide. I'm not doing much of my usual very technical study, no. I want us to just look at a basic problem, why we come to that point of asking that question. Did God do it? I remember one sister like that in our church in Ibadan then. That was 98 or 99. She sat me down and she of course was, something happened unfortunately, you know, and she sat me down and, you know, she's been in church, so she has heard the word for the few months she was being in church, but, and she was a good person, she was coming to church, but she couldn't reconcile. And then she started asking me questions and all that. Now, I remember the way I responded to her then. Of course, now I respond in quite a far better way, but I'll just pick out some of the things she said. Yeah, well, but then, shouldn't God have done this? You know, she just said that. But then, maybe it's because of this. She was arguably making a lot of conjectures. Naturally, assuming somebody is an atheist who claims not to believe in God, or he doesn't, the person will just say, well, we have an answer to it. Maybe person felt ill and the thing had gone bad, or so and so. We'll just give a natural response to it. Now, that looks very bad because you feel, no, you should be supernatural in your thinking. There was something spiritual about what happened. So we're going from there is no God to it has to be God. Who's following what I'm saying here? from there is no God, so it's just happened. To it has to be God. Now, this other, it has to be God, looks like the right one. To always put God in everything. And when you're African, I mean, you are just born to think like that. My God is the grace of God. Is God. So it is God. So we move from the extreme of there is no God to it has to be God. So, like I said, that question arose because of things she probably have heard, and myself as well, you know, as a younger Christian, must have heard or eventually come to believe. Now, we're going to look at a typical example of someone who was like that. Job 42. Job 42. You know, it's difficult, for example, to submit with James that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. For every man, then he mentions man, desire, sin, death, and he doesn't mention God. Can there anything be done in this world and God is not part of it? Is he not omniscient, omnipresent? You know, that's a bit. But here is James showing you something that God is not present. Yet, he mentions God without mentioning God. He says sin. You can't have sin without God. So, sin is to disobey God. I'm making it very simple. Sin will be, it's about God, but it's actually the absence of God. You can't have sin without God, but sin means it's without God. Do you understand my language here? You can't have sin without God. Because you cannot sin against is God. It's what God said, or what God provides. There, yet, God is not involved in what God is involved in. Just follow me. So, Job comes up after 41 chapters. Then he says, in verse 1, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withhold, canst do everything, sorry. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee. Job 42:2. Who is it that I did not counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Now, when I say hearing of the ear, is that I've heard rumors of you. I've only heard gists. But now, I'm seeing clearly. I've only heard rumors. I will come to the things he said shortly. Just hold on. I've only heard rumors of you. So, a typical guy like that, yet he makes very sound submission. Now, notice the kind of person he was. He had children. That means he was not a teenager. Children old enough to go and party. Not children's party. He was also a wealthy person. He had every characteristic of what you can call today a mature Christian. I mean, he had testimonies and all that and all that. Yet he said, I've only heard rumors of you. But now, my eyes see you. So why do we have Christians like that? Why? Why can there be a Christian who only picks snippets of information about God? I mean, if you look at many Christians, all they know about God are things they watch on TV. Pam, a 30-minute broadcast. Someone just says a story, this is a testimony, three scriptures, and that's how they've grown. They've grown here, there, here, some here, here, some there. So really, they've not grown to be, it's just like the way we talk about, maybe if I'm going to comment about let me use medicine now, the medical world. You know, I'm very sure the things I'm going to say will just be things I read on the internet, things somebody said. In fact, some of us are even doctors. You say, ah, somebody is feeling warm. Just say, ah. Just say, you have malaria. Ah. In fact, some of us will go and self-medicate straight away. Go and get this for the person immediately. And you say it is such firm persuasion. You get it? Just like when little children, babies, when they're having fever, so their eye is teething. That thing has sent many children to the graves. Because there was an assumption. Somebody said. A friend of mine was giving me the story of the Abiku theory. Abiku theory are those who are born then they die. In the Yoruba. And he said, the Abiku theory is actually congenital diseases that was not detected. And people that I know, it came from God as a test. And that thing took hundreds of years. So things can become practice because people gather snippets of information. Now let's go back to the Christian. You go to church, you hardly have 30 minutes of concentration with the scriptures. You go to church where sermons are what you can call snippets of the Bible. The message starts on a Monday, maybe last the month of September. This is a month of blossoming. So they look for blossom all over the Old Testament. You will blossom. You are a cedar in Lebanon. Yes, that's what you are, cedar. Cedar. So you leave church as a cedar in Lebanon. You go home. By the next week, they say you are planted in the courts of the Lord. And you will flourish. And you will flourish. This is your month of flourishing. We're in the Ember months, a month to remember that you're a member. you are laughing. But seriously, if you sit back, for many people, that is actually their Christian experience. There are many places in the Bible that many believers do not know exist. They don't know, not that they've never opened it. You know, so another thing, you've not opened something, you don't even know it exists. I've taught in a place where I mentioned Nahum. And were not many. Was in like a classroom. Everybody looked up. Nahum. Didn't know. Obadiah, Zephaniah. Some, you'll be surprised that all they have in their mind is Jehovah's Witness Yellow Book. Then the dramas they have seen, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, they were on a donkey. I mean, it's funny what you're laughing at, but the truth is that some folks, that is the intensity of what they know. Then coupled with those sermons I just told you about, where there is no deliberate attempt to know God. You know, to know God by the scripture is a deliberate attempt. It's just, let's just keep saying something from scripture. I see in you a spirit of excellence. Then you go and read Daniel. So the guy is a Daniel. Last year, he said, Daniel, he said, you will see, you are in Babylon. Babylon cannot overcome you. You will shine in Babylon. They could not get the answer. So they found Daniel. Because he said there was a spirit in him. And you are like 10,000 in the congregation. Were there 10,000 Daniels? You are the Daniel. You are that Daniel. You get, that is all you know. See, you have known Daniel. You have known Cedar of Lebanon. What else have you known? Huh? You have not Joseph. No, we are yet to get to Joseph. I'll get to Joseph. It's when you have problems, they go to Joseph for you. Let me tell you this. There are three P's you need to get to your next level. When you have a dream, Joseph had a dream. That dream is that God placed in your heart. God will is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. But in the middle, you look confused. But when you sit down, you say, I know you are the beginning of this. I know you are the end. See where they are taking you to. The beginning is your dream. The end is the palace. So your head is, it's true. You have interpreted your life quickly. No deliberate attempt to know God's word. So you get up. So every time you have it, I'm a Joseph. Somebody else in the community says, I'm a Danny. Because that one doesn't have much problems. He's just trying to make it. Somebody says, no, I'm a David. My mother was not married by my father. In all my family, I was rejected. But hear me, you may be keeping sheep. They are going to call you from the backyard. They are going to call you. You are selling your car right now. They are going to call you from the backyard. Now you are a David. So in the same congregation, we have Joseph, we have David. No deliberate attempt to know God. So naturally, when things happen, you will ask that question. Did God do it? Because you were never introduced to Him. You need that. So Abraham, to survive this life, leave your father's house. Until you get home. Daddy, I'm gone. Say why? You are the problem to my destiny. Where is your destiny? To a land the Lord will show you that you did not know. Yes, you went to apply for visa. Can you see your confusion? No attempt to know God. So imagine what your grandmother said. If you're an African and your parents have taken you around prayer contractors, you have gathered different processes into your head. This boy has stars. So you have stars, but they are people. So as a child, you already have people in your head that are disturbing your destiny. They move you from white garment to blue garment, then those are wearing suits. And they're giving you all sorts. You've gathered that. You not come to church. Why is church helping you? They are saying, it is your time to shine. It is your time to shine. Then they now repeat what they said in the white garment place. Every enemy standing against your blossoming, hear the word of the Lord. If I'm both a man of God, you are just hearing the same thing. Only in suit and in AC. So why won't you ask the question? Did God do it? You lift your hands, the songs you are singing, you don't even know what they mean. But you are too carried away with the music. How many of you will sing songs that don't sound well? The reason why you like some songs. Jesus has given to me. Jesus giving to me something. Just switch up. Say God is not singing. Something to shout about. Every day. Say, what is this? Yeah. I may not know anything happening. So you like that one. So you are really not particular about knowing God. Is music that you are following. Hope you are following what I'm saying. Did God do it? So, You begin to think, why would they have believers who have all these snippets in their head? I grew up in a Christian home, a religious Christian home. And you have an assumption. Because you do morning devotion, you go to church, probably were raised in church, you feel you've heard the truth. Maybe you haven't. And you gather those thoughts. You now come to a world church. If you are not careful, you have not really renewed your mind. You hear the word, and you go, yes! Finish work. Hey! But you've not settled down to really understand scriptures. So when things still happen, it's not unlikely that you ask the same questions. Did God do it? Because you will know that you are completely immersed in God's word when you see evil. The thought of God does not come to your mind. If you are still maybe you, it hasn't come to your mind. A guy wrote me a mail. He claims to be following our ministry and others. He said, I want to ask you a question, sir. This is in a very simple way. He said, when a man of God is not honored, when you don't honor your pastor, is there no consequences for it? Now, I knew the problem he had. Now, are there consequences? There are. I said, like what? I mean, he said, yes, like consequences. I said, from whose side? He now answered back. He knew I boxed him in the corner. He said, we know God cannot do evil. I'm just saying. He still cannot grapple with what he's hearing. So he's trying to locate God's anger somewhere. So that is what happens when you have not immersed yourself. Sometimes you may think that you understand scripture because you don't do some things again. You don't go for deliverance, you don't go for all those things. That's an assumption. So, like I said, a Christian now goes from place to place. He buys Christian books. I entered somebody's library one day. I saw the number of books. I said, this is a proof that you've never known anything. And you'll never know anything. What are you doing with all these books? And that's what the person I said, these books contradict each other. Did you see it? So, when Job said, I have heard you with the hearing of the ear. I heard God. I was told. Why would you say you were told when you have a Bible? Somebody said something years back and it blessed me. He said, when you don't take your Bible to church, you are a candidate for deception. I was in the service when a man was quoting scriptures claiming that recession is not the will of God. Yes. 2016. And he said that when you have the Abrahamic blessing, that you will not have financial challenges, that the blessing makes you flourish. He went his all that lullaby. So he began to speak about Abraham. So I was not wondering, of course, he could wriggle himself out of Abraham, Isaac. I was not telling the person that me. I said, let me see how he's going to mention Jacob. Because I'm going to see, how are you going to wriggle out of Jacob's case? He now said, do you know why Jacob went to Egypt? We were thousands in that hall. At least 2,000. He said, because he wanted another brand of corn. And right there, people were saying, hey! And of course, that practice of putting scriptures on the screen, where you don't need to have a Bible. So it is what he wants you to read that you will read. So I told the person behind me, I said, I showed the person what Jacob said. Lest we die. Lest we die. Now, the thing is that whoever came to that service and was deceived, the person chose to be. What I read was in the Bible with every bone. So, you are not serious about knowing God. You're not serious. You're not. I remember I was on campus and a friend of mine, Pastor Bolu Paul, asked me to go to a particular church. Say, Onyeka, you like this or this? Yeah, it's a world church. It's a world church. I said, okay. Because I wasn't pastoring, you know. No, I was. But I wanted to identify with the campus fellowship church then. So I go to the church, I introduced myself to the pastor. The first service. You know, 40 minutes. The man is done. Sometimes 30 minutes. And there's a whole lot of praise and torture. Sorry, praise and worship. That's how we used to call it in those days. We call it bodygraphy. And people would dance. So I now went to meet the pastor. I said, sir, I had to go and get books. E.W. Kenyon books. And can I take you materials? But Kenyon books was glad. I said, sir, I went to my pastor with books. Pastor, sir, please, start to study. Please, sir. Start to study. I mean, when I was another university then, the pastor would come to me because that was how I was. The pastor would come to me after every sermon, say, Emoji, was he okay? Was he okay? I say, yeah. So don't go and be doing that to anyway. You are not supposed to be going all over the place like Job or Satan. So I said, so I now give him blood covenant. But EWK, I said, sir, teach this one. Start with this one. This is the Christian realities. What happened from the cross of the throne? Father and his family. He said, okay. So I was really excited the next Sunday. Yes. Just said, so we are doing a series on blood covenants. There are some truths we must know. We must know. Okay. He taught close to an hour. Okay. I felt it's okay. We are still starting. The next Sunday, 40 minutes. He said, so next week we will be taking, Do not come to the service. But as of last night, I did not have a sermon. As of this morning, I was still waiting upon the Holy Spirit. No, initially I thought, he wanted to have a Holy Ghost, so he would just say, I'm just, I will be less. I tried to excuse, I can find an excuse for you. I said, no, he's just trying to be led. He wants to, okay? The next Sunday, he now said the same thing. He said, I went to play football. I see that reward. I said, eh? He said, it was this morning as I took this. God gave me a word. I said, what? He said, what are you doing here? You came to a place where all scripture is the inspiration. Inspired by tea. Imagine. I spent the night studying. My pastor was drinking tea. I had to go to the man and say, sir, can I organize correspondence for you? Sir, you may answer questions in scripture. Are you religious? Because when you now do in fortress, that's where it came from. So you see, there was no deliberate attempt for the parishioners to know God. They're just managing everybody through life. You only know that people want to know God by their attitude to scriptures. That's how you know it. So, the Like I told you the other day, when you ask, is it God speaking? Is it not me? Is it? Of course, God is not in that confusion of yours. But it says a lot about you. In normal life, when you know people well, when you hear their voice, you know it's them. In normal life, just in regular men, others. You are now saying, I'm a child of God. Hey, he's on my inside. He's on my inside. Okay, don't know. Make him out. I say, I'm not sure whether it's God, whether it's the devil. It's a proof of instability on your part. Did God do it? So, here is Job. I have heard you. With the hearing of the ear. Now my eyes see you. It's possible to wallow in ignorance and practice. Jesus said to those Pharisees, Matthew 22, verse 29, you err, for you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Why did he say that? You know, look at Matthew 22. Your questions show your true persuasion. Your questions show your true persuasion. Look at the question they asked him. Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, Master, Moses said, if a man dies, having no children, so they mentioned, he asked him, he dies, and then he has no issue, he's left his wife to his brother, then the second, the third, till the seventh. The last of all, the woman died. He now asked, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Look at the response he gave them. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. In Matthew 19, or Matthew 12 first, verse 2. They said to him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. Then he says, have you not read? Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and that they that were with him? Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Verse 3. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Matthew 19:7. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? All questions. Did God do it? Your questions expose your ignorance. And he says, have you not read? A scripture, a statement, or a word, anaginosko in the Greek, which means to carefully, meticulously read. Have you not read? Have you not read it meticulously? So those questions are questions that expose your ignorance. You know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. So your attitude to scriptures is why those questions arose. And let me say something to you so that you won't make a mistake. He's not referring to the epistles. He's referring to the Old Testament. That Old Testament. That was what he was referring to. So, what was the challenge? Let me just highlight something for you. When it says, have you not read? I would say the word there is anaginosko. The word anaginosko is a Greek word that means, now, ginosko means to take cognizance of a fact, or to perceive something, or to acknowledge something. Anna is again and again. To do something the second time as though you didn't do it the first time. Where you have the word anno thing, born again, born anew. So it means, have you not read it thoroughly? So we said earlier that your questions arise from what? Your ignorance. And don't laugh at what I said earlier about there was no deliberate attempt. Also on your part, there was no deliberate attempt. I told you now I went to a fellowship or a church. And I said, what am I doing here? Because there was no deliberate attempt for me to know anything. And I could not stomach that. There has to be a deliberate attempt. Because if you remove the Bible from this service, can we be called the Church of Christ? Huh? Okay, with all here, the keyboards, the music system, everything is blasting and all that, does that make us the Church of Christ? It is our attitude to the scriptures that makes us the Church of Christ. So where the Bible is referenced, like you're in a nightclub, just mention it by the side. That is not an attempt to know God. Did you see how you went to school? I was trying to do a distinction between when I will read some medical journal on Facebook, on social media. But people go to medical schools. In fact, they didn't start from medical school. They started from primary school. They learn how to read, how to write, how to speak. How to communicate. How to answer questions. You now graduate to secondary school. Secondary school, you do your JAMB, UME, university. You do the first year. Where basically you learn other things. Then you get to the medical school. They pass through tests. How do you think that kind of person and you that you are just using harp will say the same thing? You don't know the same thing. So look at the diligence that is applied. Now, how do you think comprehending, studying, and learning eternal things will demand less commitment? Such that you want to pick a scripture per day, just read it, sing, watch movies, and then you say you know God. How? You will only be second guessing and living by your experiences. You know not the scriptures, nor the power of God. That is what God can do. So, my attitude. Let's now see, how are the scriptures meant to be read? I wish. Stand up, sir. This is your Bible, I believe. See your name on it. I won't tell anybody. Stand up. Now, assuming this is your school books. Right? This is a school book, not the Bible. Imagine it's not a Bible. Doesn't even look like one. It's too small to be called the Word of God. Don't mind. So, or a novel. Then you start reading from this place. This is page 958.
Then he starts reading from page 934.
Will you call him intelligent? Where should he start reading from? Page 1. And in case you didn't understand English, they put that page 1 as Genesis, the beginning. Sit down, sir. The beginning. You have read the Bible in bits and pieces. You took Job, hit it with Isaiah, added Ephesians the same day. You now had one or two Psalms that you knew since you were in primary school. Contend with those who contend against me. As you finish reading that one, that's the Lord is my shepherd. When you were done with that, say, arise, O Israel! How would you ever know God? Look at Jesus. Look at the study of Jesus. Look at Matthew 19. Have you ever tried to see how Jesus read the scriptures? Well, we call Jesus our Lord. Look at Matthew 19. When they asked that question in 3, the one I showed you, and then he said, Matthew 19:3, have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? Then he quoted Genesis. They now asked him, why did Moses, which is obviously in Deuteronomy 24 verse 1, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning. So we have double emphasis. What is beginning there? Genesis. So you cannot claim to make a claim in scripture about God without reading the whole book and in a systematic way. He said, what happened before he said this? Have you not investigated it? Something must have happened because of the hardness of heart. And the hardness of heart he's referring to was in the book of Numbers, where for 40 years they did not believe God's word. Which means, he's saying, read the scriptures in context. What do you mean by read the scriptures in context? Read it from the beginning. So systematic reading and study of the scriptures is what will deliver you from asking the wrong questions. Luke 24. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Look at Luke 24. When those folks, he met them and wrote to them house, he had risen from the dead. These are his own disciples. His own disciples. His own disciples. People that were with him. He said them, verse 17, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They said, are you a stranger in Israel or in Jerusalem? You don't know those things that came to pass in this. He said, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, and they went on and on. Look at what they said in 21. We trusted it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since this were done. Then he said, certain women of our company made us astonished, which were earlier at the sepulchre, and when they found his body not, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. A certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it as well as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, why were they bothered? Experientially, their experiences were distorted, but not the scriptures.
He now said, oh fools.
Slow of heart. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ. His own was a rhetoric. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things. And that is why are you surprised? And to enter into his glory. Look at 27. And beginning in Ephesians. Beginning at Job. Beginning at where? You know, that's a tautology. Beginning at the beginning. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Systematic study. Contextual reading. When he met the other 12, I close here, in verse 37, I says, touch me. The spirit has no flesh and bone as you see me have. Have you any meat? They gave him. He took honeycomb and fish. Then he said in 44, this is deliberate. These are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in Colossians. Where? The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Do you think it's coincidence that he gives you an order of reading in the two instances? Begin from the beginning. Be systematic. Study scriptures properly. Study properly. So you won't ask foolish questions. If you won't read your school books from the back, if you read from the middle, neither should the scriptures be studied that way. So you ask, did God do it? Because you did not deliberately want to know him. And the scriptures are with you. You have access today to a sound local church where the Bible is taught systematically. We do that here. I don't just wake up one morning to know what to preach. No. We deliberately present God to you. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Scripture with scripture. Scripture explaining scripture. You will not find us in Saints Committee focused on Ephesians or Colossians. No. We teach scriptures. All. And I believe many other churches around the world. Deliberately. So you won't ask the wrong questions. Why didn't God? Wrong questions. Questions that came out either of total ignorance, laziness, or unbelief. Take the scriptures and choose to know God. Of course, I'm not talking about the silly mantra, know God all by yourself. Nope. No such thing in scripture. But if you are serious, you will find serious people. You will. In my search to know scriptures, I've hit my head against all sorts, but my desire never changes. I know. Yes. God is not known by my experiences. God is not known in my dreams. God is not known in the stories I've heard. God is known in the scriptures. Properly, well explained. So you won't ask the wrong question. Have you been in class? Maybe you are doing tutorial for exam. And a guy asks a question. And you look back. Were you not in class? There are sometimes some boys who ask a question and say, how did you get to this university? It's the same way when you and I ask the wrong questions.
scriptures are clear. If they are taken seriously, did God do it? It's often asked when a man does not know the scriptures, nor the power of God, or he errs totally from the scriptures. I'll continue the second service. Let us pray.